Coach DK.
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
What about you? For you, what do you think? What's your favorite college football rivalry?
My favorite college football rivalry, I have to go ahead and agree with Penguin on his last choice there. That wide right eye at Miami versus FSU rivalry is just, I mean, I grew up in Miami Beach. I mean, that's just, that was a thing. I mean, my favorite game was watching back when Ray Lewis, Rohan Marley, those guys were on the team. It was a fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite. Just, you know, because growing up in the atmosphere, being able to go to those games, it was something.
Did we lose DK?
No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
I just stopped without. We got people saying that they lost the sound on Twitch.
Yep, I just asked if it went back up. It shows we're connected now.
Yeah, that's my favorite. But if I had to say like what do I consider the best one though, I'd have to go back and also. One mentioned earlier, the Ohio State Michigan. I'm sorry. Both of those stadiums, I don't care which one you go to, when those two guys get on the field together, it is like Michigan fans, probably some of the worst fans I've ever met in my life. So crazy. Throwing beer bottles at people when they lose games. It's just crazy.
The one thing that prevents me from putting that one at the top of my list is something that I guess some people like about it, but I just don't. And that it's at, I believe, at noon every year. And I just don't more. Like that.
Yeah.
Don't like that at
all. It needs
all.
To be at night sometimes.
Yeah. There's just something special, something different about playing at night. I think pretty much any college football fan is going to agree with that.
Well, DK, welcome to the show, bud. We're happy to have you here as a coach guest this season. Third season, as Georgia, and I'm going to share with the people something that you and I shared the first few weeks after the draft. We were doing, you know, you're always a late night scrim guy because I'm a West Coast guy. So it's nice. We'll hop on the mic. And I asked you, you know, how you felt about Georgia and what your plan was for him. And you said something that made a lot of sense to me, even though you may not be a full, you know, you're a Miami fan first. And then you said you have some family that went to Georgia, but you told me on the mic, I will keep these guys forever. Why wouldn't I? They're the best team in the game. And I actually thought that was a cool, real, you know, honest answer. And do you still stand by that to this day, having them now for your third season?
Yes, absolutely. Like a lot of guys on here play for different reasons. I play for what I consider to be my idea of the NDL purpose. My purpose is to get my team in dynasty. So instead of like, you know, there's the CFP that's out there. There's the Beefy Cup that you can win. You can win your conference championship. You can win the national title. I really don't care about any of that. At the end of the day, I care about winning enough games so that at the end of the season, I have the choice of whether or not I want to stay with my team or leave. I don't want to be put in a position where I'm forced out. That's my only goal. That's it.
Understood, and that's impressive because obviously you have the highest rated team in the game, so that's not easy to do year to year, even with a bank. So it's impressive that now it's the third season with them. Penguin, I think you have a question for DK in here.
Okay. Being that, I'll kind of piggyback on that, kind of keep the theme there. Being that there's been so much turnover in conference from, you know, season to season. I mean, that's, you know, just part of the nature of the NDL. Who would you consider be your rival in conference at this time, or not in conference, I guess, with you being at the same spot each, you know, for three seasons now?
Well, actually, right now, seeing that he's been consistent with the conference, maybe not the team, the biggest would be Mike, because that's the one game that I know is going to be a great game, regardless win or lose. It's going to be an extremely tough chess match. We're both going to come out there and we're going to put, you know, bring our A games regardless of who our team is. and that he's still in the SEC, that right there would probably be the game I go.
Definitely makes a lot of sense. He's definitely a tough matchup, and he's back at home now with the Gators. So you know that is that game you've got coming up with him is going to have some extra intensity this season for sure.
Yeah, and I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, I actually have him at home. I don't have to go and play in Florida. That's the only bonus. But at the same time, you know, last season when he had Bama, he played us at home and still lost by 3 points. So he can still go either way.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It was a great game, though. And
yeah, that was a game that, honestly, even with the loss, I could not be disappointed. I mean, you can't. Just got to tip your hat and just say, you know, great job. I mean, because you did everything that you could, and at the end of the day, you just could not get that little bit you needed to put you over the edge.
Now, with that being said and bringing up Mike, I have, you know, it's tough coming on here on game day. You know, sometimes Penguin and I aren't the softest on our guests. So I do have to ask this question. You made the CFP the last two seasons, okay? And then it was a first-round exit both times. Hate to bring it up. But what do the Dogs have to do to get over the hump to move forward? First, make the CFP this year, which I have full faith in. You've done it two seasons in a row. But if you were to make it, what's the next step to get to that, you know, quarterfinal, semifinal round?
Well, in all honesty, I have a tendency of doing, and it's been like the bane of my existence for quite some time now. I get this little feeling and this inkling, regardless of how well I'm performing on the field in the game, that, oh, I have to change something or I have to change this. And like, that's when things go wrong. Like, it'll be midway in the season or the end of the season. And it's like, oh, let me tweak something on defense or let me change this gameplay up on offense. And at the end of the day, I just need to come out there and just run my game plan, stick to it, knowing what works and knowing what's effective. And it's not about money plays. It's about knowing my defensive players and knowing what plays they're great in, with how well they executed, you know, what formations and what plays. And on offense, going with my targets and not allowing the opposition to dictate what I'm going to do.
Yeah, sometimes like a little, you've been doing maybe a little overcoaching, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I overthink and I take myself out of the game because I'm thinking, oh, well, I got to do something that I really don't have to do. Like, bro, just calm down. Take a breath. Back it up.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think a lot of people are guilty of that. Well, we'll see if, you know, this season I'll watch you, you know, obviously with your game with Kentucky today, and then I'll check in 8 weeks and see if you're running a completely new offense, you know?
Hopefully not. That's the one thing we want to do. We want to stay consistent this season.
Love it.
So no wishbone in the future for Georgia.
Wish what?
Wishbone.
Exactly. Wish what? I'm not wishing on nothing.
So kind of follow up on that, and I guess you kind of answered it in a way. As someone who's, you know, a vet and been in the unique position to have the team for multiple seasons, what is, other than getting away from, you know, your identity and who you are, what's something, if you had to give some advice to a struggling coach out there of what they can do to basically improve their situation, what are some input you would give to someone who's sitting at 0-2 and needs some help to get their mojo going?
The first thing I'm going to tell you is that you got to remember you have four quarters. Okay. That's the first thing. If your opponent comes out and they score 14 points in one quarter, what's to say that you can't score 14 points in one quarter? So don't get in that mode where it's like, oh, I got to get this going. Take your time. There's four quarters. Don't push yourself into a position where you're making mistakes. And that's what a lot of us do. The other thing is you have to pay attention to your team. Your overalls don't mean jack. All that is, that's just telling you overall, this is the player that looks to be the best in this position. Look at your ratings. If you are a runner, you got to look at those pass, the run block, the run finesse, those type of ratings to see, do I actually have the right people in the positions for what I'm trying to do? Same thing if you're a passer. And if you're looking at your running backs, like, how do you like to run? Are you a power runner? Are you a guy who likes to, you know, cut back or cut, hit the holes and, you know, be able to get to the outside? You got to make sure you're looking at change of direction, you know, looking at acceleration. You know, you got to be looking at those small details that'll take you from mediocre or doing, kind of getting what you want to do going, but not really getting it going as effectively as you want to. And it's just those little small, little minor nuances that we, you know, sometimes don't pay attention to, because a lot of us, we just logging on the game, you know, jump into the room and we just get going. Honestly, like myself, Rain, we are kind of nerds when it comes to this game. You know, we want to know the ins and outs, because at the end of the day, having that little bit of information could put you over the edge.
Good advice. And it's, I mean, reminding us all to take it a play at a time at its core, I suppose. Not try to get it all back in one swing, as I do quite often.
And Kane, obviously a new season, very early as our second block, you're kind of opening up SEC play. What do you see for the SEC this season as compared to last season? I believe, just I'm going off the top of my head, that you were 10-2 last year. And you know, what do you see for the Dogs as far as SEC play? And please save me the, you know, prototypical, well, we just want to make the conference championship game and we'll see what happens. Like, what do you see as a challenge this year, as maybe you thought it was favorable last year, that is different this season?
Well, one of the things is the game against Texas. That's going to be a little bit more challenging, because fortunately, I feel like Steen didn't really know his team that well at the time. So that was one of the factors that helped me in that game. And the other thing is we have, you know, guys in the SEC who, like, we have Bucknut, who's still returning, still been doing great things over there at LSU. I'm lucky that I have to play on that side with LSU and Oklahoma. Not that I'm worried about Jiggy and Bucknut. It's just those would be two more extra games that I'd have to concern myself with. So luckily, I wouldn't have to worry about them until I, you know, made it to the conference championship game. But, you know, having Big Mike, Vegas moving up to with an opportunity to have a better team here in Tennessee, even though there are some holes. And if you know the holes in Tennessee, you can't exploit them. And then you also have, I mean, you got Mike in Florida. Like I said, Steam is at Texas. We got Roke, who did really well at a smaller school. And he has, you know, a lot of speed and a better defense at Kentucky. And then we also have, what is it, Schnell over at Auburn. Auburn's doing pretty well. So, I mean, what I keep seeing is that each year, or each season, I'll say, there's a great or good, there's a good group of coaches that come in and shake things up. And this season, I would say, is probably going to be a bigger shake than, because everybody said last season was going to be a gauntlet. This one's, I think, going to be worse than the last season, to be honest. My goal every game is to come out and play the best that I can. I'm not going into any game thinking I'm going to lose. So for me, you know, my end of the day goal is, you know, get us out there, you know, let's go 12-0 and work towards it. But I mean, there is reality. We are definitely a 10-win team, and that is where we for sure see ourselves. And then we're going to go in here. We're going to see what these, you know, what the rounds look like in the CFP, and just try to make sure we put a good effort in this first round so that we don't get knocked out like we have the previous two seasons.
A follow up on that there. You made a comment about there being holes in Tennessee. Is that a veiled commentary on the dental hygiene practices of this great state?
I did not mean. But I love Tennessee as far as the state goes. Their team, not so much. But no, man, I'm just talking about the daggone.
Sure.
I see, if we were talking about West Virginia, that'd be a totally different story.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Okay. That's all I got.
Kane, one last question for me here. You obviously have the famous saying of the warm-up game, and you've been a good sport about it. People kind of teasing you about it. would you say that you wish you kept that to yourself, or are you now happy that you pretty much have almost a NDL Hall of Fame comment, and probably an NDL Hall of Fame comment to your resume now?
I mean, honestly, I'm not ashamed of nothing. If anybody knows my story, trust me, I've done a lot of my life that most would be ashamed of. I know it's just who I am. That's me. You know, what I do is me. And if it's not going to be for everybody, I'm not sorry I said it. I mean, people know. I mean, that, because for me, there might be somebody else who may not admit it, but they might, you know, hear that and say, oh, you know what? Maybe I should go ahead and either get into a play now game or jump into the practice mode before I just jump on and jump into a game. And, you know, that way I can kind of get my juices flowing before I actually put myself in a position where I might just lose.
And you know, I want to follow up on that. You actually kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. I was going to say, to follow up, do you think there are some NDLers that maybe poked fun or made comments about it that are actually running warm-up games themselves? They just were never as open and honest to admit it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are. Who they are, I couldn't pinpoint. But I know for sure There have been a couple guys that I've even played, you know, that would want to scrim real quick. Even sometimes we just play a half, you know, because they had a game coming up or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I know people are out there that do it. They just aren't as open about it as I am. I mean, not everybody needs to, you know. I don't care. Like, when people was like, hey, what's going on? You know, I knew exactly what was going on, and I told them, look, hey, I didn't play my warm-up game. I know, because my old ass brain needs to, you know, get warmed up before I start, you know, trying to push on the gas to get her going. So,
well, let me, and to touch on it, I was, you know, going to ask, with that being said, I have to agree with you. And the reason I brought that up is I've played so many NDL games where someone will be like, hey, I haven't played in a while. I'm a little rusty, AKA, I maybe should have played a game or two before we play. So I just think you said something one day that a lot of people were thinking. But do you think that because you have the highest rated team, in the game, that that's why people took off and ran with it?
Yes, exactly. 100%. Look at it like, bro, you got Georgia. Like, first of all, Georgia doesn't have the highest rated offense. We're 92 overall offense. Alabama has a better offense rating than we do. I mean, we are up there with Ohio State now in our defense, but I don't care what you say, what team you have. It's been proven in the last two seasons that the game, especially, I hate to break it to you guys, but especially the game tuning on All-American gives you a more of a benefit, that your ratings don't play as much of a factor as you think they are. Yes, they can get out of hand, but on paper, it doesn't present itself the same way that it should. So me having a Georgia and going out against a Kentucky doesn't mean that just because I have Georgia, I should win that game. No, because all it takes is for Kentucky to get a stop, and that game engine is going to read, oh, that's a successful stop. We're going to go ahead and switch some of that momentum in their favor, and now it's a whole different game. Sometimes teams of higher ratings play down to teams of lower ratings. It's like there's so many different things that happen and so many different factors that you can't look at who has who and this person should perform this way because of that. That's not true at all. It all comes down to, one, who's behind the sticks, and two, just whether or not you have a good game. Because mistakes happen, and mistakes could cost you. That's the game and the nature of football.
Well, those are the last questions for me, Kane. Thanks for taking any kind of hard-hitting question. I think Penguin may have one more for you here. But really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
All right, one last one, Kane. You talk about staying at Georgia. Let's say a few months down the road, you're in the same position at the end of this coming season that you were last season. And so we get to the summer there, and we're out, rolled out with a new game. The ratings are equal of where you are, particular place in South Beach. Do you stay, or do you roll the dice and try to head home?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm staying at Georgia until Dealer tells me that he's leaving. Once Dealer tells me he's leaving, then there's a very good chance that I'm trying to get my cane.
He keeps scheduling those out of those tough out-of-conference games to start the season. He may not have control over that in the near future. Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for talking to us.
No problem.
DK, and you can stay on the show. We'll do our picks later, and you can join us as a guest picker here on the NDL. As always, we'll keep things moving here. I know we've already hit on some of the things in the teams, you know, in the prior week and stuff. But now that we have more games and stuff played in that block one, Pat, what are some surprises to you this season, whether it's coaches that had made changes or coaches that stayed and teams that are winning and losing?
Well, the first surprise is when the draft starts for me, who goes where. Obviously, you kind of mentioned it. I always find it kind of fascinating when people enter the draft with a good pick and then repick their team, because I actually thought about going back to an old team that you have familiarity with. And there might be that just one particular team in the draft that you think, hey, I could really make a run at this thing. And then they get taken and you don't do anything foolish. You stay in your comfort zone. So I have to give Wilds a lot of credit, actually. He goes in the draft, has a pretty good pick, and someone that I know that he wanted, I won't say, got taken. And instead of him being like, oh, you know, panicking or going somewhere where he didn't know the familiarity of the team, he went back to his team from the year before. He starts off 2-0, like looking really good. So I always find that fascinating that people have the discipline to, you know, it's exciting to get a new team. So when someone redrafts their team from the year before, that's always a big surprise. So that was a surprise to me to see him go back to Iowa. And then to start the season, no real big surprises right now for me. Unfortunately, not too many upsets, as we kind of talked about on PTD the other day. Kind of excited to see more games get played here coming up. I know the first two blocks are weird. Some people are up in arms, you know, not up in arms, but they'll say, oh, well, I'm not going to rank them. They haven't played after that first block. I'll tell you, last year when I was Utah, I did not have two games in the first week. I specifically took the first 2 weeks off because I was busy personal life and I had to practice with the team a little bit. So I did not play the first 2 weeks because I did not have two games. So I hope people look into that kind of thing. But no real surprises as far as the first block for me. Is good to see, and I hate to say this as a rival, Notre Dame has been from last year to this year, looks like he's kind of on a mission. Both of his games and wins were pretty lopsided, so he's ready to roll. And then I was a little surprised to see Texas Tech start off 0-2. He was a good coach last year from Northern Illinois, but both of his losses, I believe, were a bit non-competitive, and then we obviously saw him play early against Marion, so he'll actually be 0-3 to start the year.
Yeah, I would agree that there's not been a lot of surprises. You've got a lot of the usual suspects starting off strong. Wilds, Iowa, is a great example, and the reference of him going back there, I totally agree. I had a similar note put down as well. And I did get to take in some of Rain's game, couple of his games the other day, and I would agree he looks like a man that's destined to reassert himself near the top. Time will tell if he can pull that off. But mostly, I'm anxious still to see what some of these coaches are going to look like to their new teams. Specifically, I want to see Clemson. I want to see Kentucky. I want to see. I want to see how Ohio State looks this season. These are teams I've got near the top of my list, and you know I'd like to rank high, but I need to know, you know, really how good are you going to be this season facing competition. The one that is a little down for me, and I wouldn't really call it so much a disappointment given the teams they played, which were Tennessee and Florida, and that's to see the Hokies starting out at 0-2. Obviously, I mean, when you're playing teams that are ranked number 3 and number 6 with playoff coaches, Vegas and Mike there, you know, there's no shame in that. And they're definitely at a bit of a disadvantage with the, you know, the Hokies talent. But I'm curious to see if VT Runningen can get them back in the mix and that they can actually be a playoff team this season.
I think
last about the year SEC we... starting off the year 14-2, by the way. I just wanted to touch on that.
I was just going to talk about ahead. That is that I think what's happening last year is happening again this year. Even to more extreme, last year the ACC started off slow, and you're seeing that happen again. Big surprises for me is you got Block, Freak, and JBK. I know Freak's not in the ACC, starting 0-2. I know sometimes you go out and you schedule those powerful out-of-conference games. We always talk about it. At some point, you got to win those games. But that's surprising to me. I thought, several of those teams, we were always fairly high on Georgia Tech last year, but a big start at 0-2.
Shout out to our desk mate Mark with the big win over Georgia Tech.
Yeah, in a defensive battle too. It was like 13-10, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got MGR. Obviously, they were on the show last week. He was on with Jiggy, but his blanking by Notre Dame, I know you talked about Notre Dame looking a lot different this year, but just that score in general was a big surprise to me because I thought MGR was going to have some things brewing up there in Nebraska. And I know it's still early. Like you talked about, taking over a new team, sometimes you got to figure out what works, what doesn't. But those are some pretty big surprises to me. As always, being the SEC commissioner, I could talk about the SEC all day. They had some big wins, 6 feet, winning over Nidler in the fashion that he did, I think was obviously at home was a big win for six, as well as the SEC when you talk about those out-of-conference wins. But it's still early in the season. Obviously, last year we were really high on some conferences. I think the MAC looks really good. We'll talk about a MAC game a little bit later today. But I think the MAC looks really good early start to the season for a mid-major. And then obviously the Mountain West has got some talented coaches up there, even with some leaving. Are there any other surprises or anything that you guys have seen?
For me, we gotta see a few more games for me to be able to answer that well. In the meantime, I just, I don't really have any surprises.
I think Wisconsin starting off 2-0 and playing a couple of good schools, and then I also saw him win a cup game, I believe, against someone really good, a high scoring game. I forget who it was off the top of my head. But so technically, he's jumped out to 3-0, and again, I always say. Having the team second season is big time. And then I'm excited to see Smitty play in a bigger game to see how the flex goes against some of these teams and see how people game plan against it. I think that's going to be fun to watch.
I think in his shootout versus Washington, when I was looking over stuff, I didn't watch a game, but I was looking at the game recap. I think his running back had like 12 carries for 300 yards. It was a shootout against Washington, but obviously he's found a little niche there with that offense up there. And so that should be exciting when he starts facing a little bit tougher matchups after people have maybe had a chance to see him play as well. We'll kind of flip the script here and we'll go to real life college football. Obviously big game Monday night, national championship. So I just kind of ask who you guys got here. I know Pat obviously has already stated very, very clearly that he'll not be cheering for Notre Dame. Penguin, who do you have for the Ohio State-Notre Dame game on Monday night?
Well, the team that I think will win and the team that I want to win are not the same for certainly. I dislike them both, but my dislike of the Irish is passive at best, and I think it'd be a cool story to see them get it done. But, man, Buckeyes. Fair enough. I think the Buckeyes have been a machine. And not that Notre Dame can't win. My very deep fear, and if I was a betting man, is that it's going to be a potentially even boring game. And that Ohio State blitzes them and just wins in very dominant fashion.
And by the way, I'd like to jump in, even though we all know, I hope Ohio State does win for obvious reasons. But, As a coach, I started feeling really bad for Ryan Day a few weeks ago when they lost to Michigan. Yeah, they you know, obviously huge upset or whatever. And then like people like wanted him hung from the streets. And now the fact that he might win a national championship just goes to show you that like what one game particular against a rival can really do. But like, calm down. You know what I mean? Like everyone just wants to always fire the coach. What if the players played terribly and the game plan was awesome? No one ever blames the players and it drives me insane. So anyway, that's all I got.
No, I'm with you. That's one of those typical, it's easier for me to look because I don't have blinders on. I could care less about Ohio State. Don't dislike them. Don't hate them. Don't like them. But at the same time, I know the grass is not greener on the other side. You're not going to find a better coach that's going to take over Ohio State and lead them down the road there. I mean, clearly, look what he's done in the playoffs. But, yeah, some of those fair-weathered fans, obviously, it's just one of those knee-jerk reactions when you lose a game that you shouldn't have lost. And you know, they're just like, fire him. We need some new blood. We can't win the big game, blah, blah, blah. And Notre Dame, the same thing has been going on over there. You know, every year they go through that conference, well, the non-conference schedule that they have, and people get upset and mad because they aren't, you know, potentially can't win that big game. I thought it was really interesting. Ohio State, I heard this, I think it was yesterday morning, Ohio State's won the last six games that they played. They've only played eight times ever. Obviously, they played, last year, where Ohio State beat them at the very end of the game with that game-winning drive. And so I'm excited. I have a lot of friends that are Irish fans. When you live up north, or you kind of are fans when you grow up with whatever's on TV. Well, we don't have any big D1 schools in Montana and North Dakota, so Notre Dame was always on NBC, so lots of Notre Dame fans. Growing up, if it wasn't for Washington State, I probably cheered for Notre Dame just because they were on TV all the time. But I think Ohio State's going to win the game. So much speed and stuff on offense, and they're really clicking right now.
Guys like Downs and Jeremiah Smith, those guys could both be starting the NFL right now, and to have them on both sides of the ball is such a headache for every opponent.
Yeah, Downs is one of the best safeties I've ever seen play in college football.
Yeah, he's like ridiculous. An impact player in the previous versions of NCAA when they were so incredibly overpowered out there. He is different.
Yeah, it honestly looks like they just allow him to, you know how we have like the spies in the game that like he's that little orange circle and he can just basically do whatever the hell he wants.
It is interesting when you watch him on the field, how much separation he creates, even when people know that the ball's going that way. So we'll continue to talk about real life stuff here just because I think it's fun. Obviously, we're all really big football fans. And we have the NFL playoffs this weekend. Who are your guys' favorites, or who would you like to see win it that's left?
Well, football is kind of dead to me as my Bucks shit the bed last weekend. But I think there's only one answer, and that's the Detroit Lions. Everyone else, other team can go die in a fire for all I care. I'd like to see Detroit get it done.
I'm in the minority with this selection. I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so we don't have anything to ever really look forward to. So I like to watch really good players play. And
Say who I think you are. Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry.
Well, no, what? I might be. I hope the Chiefs win. Absolutely.
No.
Yes. What? No. Why do people?
This house is a fucking prison! I'm playing bullshit!
No, I'd rather eat my own face than watch the Chiefs win again.
Oh, why do people hate dynasties? Like, why do you hate it? I think we are lucky. I think we're lucky that we got to live and watch Tom Brady in his prime. I think more people should.
So here's my thing with the Chiefs, though, Pat, is that
the best coach with the best back.
I enjoyed watching Tom Brady play. Because I felt like Tom Brady really understood the game of football. He understood leverage. He understood lots of technical stuff with football. Okay. I like watching the Chiefs because of Andy Reid, because he does the same thing as a coach. He manipulates defenses with his offense. Okay. Patrick Mahomes, when I watch him, he's not Tom Brady. I know I know he's good. He's athletic. He's things like that. But he's not the Tom Brady. And the NFL just shoves him down your throat. And that's what I enjoy about it. That's why I don't like him, right? It's like they've almost
it's
made
not his
him
fault.
A villain. I know, but
it's not his fault. He doesn't ask him to.
And I can't stand his voice.
Oh, you mean this guy?
Yeah, like Kermit the Frog. And so, his wife's annoying. His brother was annoying. Like, he just surrounded himself with a bunch of idiots, which made me dislike him. And I just don't like. And then the whole Taylor Swift thing. Like, it's been great for football because you get a lot of fans that don't normally fans. But man, I hope the Texans slaughter them, and then I hope we get, you know, I like watching good football, so I hope we get. You know, maybe the Lions and the Bills potentially watch some of the MVPs.
Oh, yeah. That would be incredible because you've got two fan bases that would appreciate it on a level that few do. You could genuinely feel good for whoever wins that Super Bowl.
I'm outraged. Yeah, Tim just said he didn't like Patrick Mahomes because of his family, out of his control. They throw him down his throat, out of his control. Taylor Swift, out of his control. Like... Yeah, the guy's a great football player.
So who you surround yourself with is definitely your control. He doesn't need to bring his brother to the games and down on the field. He picked his wife. Like, I don't know if he was like
no family allowed.
Like, if it's like medieval times and maybe his father picked his wife for him, but
I will say one thing that slept on about the Chiefs, in all honesty, that's been slept on about him over the years is their defensive coordinator, Spags. You got to think about this. He was the D coordinator in New York when they held Tom Brady's undefeated team to 10 points or whatever they held him to in the Super Bowl. He's beaten Tom and Bill twice in the Super Bowl. He's been the DC at the Chiefs, and I think they're the most slept on thing. And that guy, Chris Jones, is the best defensive player in football. You can say TJ Watt and all this trash, but Chris Jones is the best defensive player in football if you actually watch the game.
He is a dominant.
The weather is going to play into the Chiefs, you know, like the defense and stuff like that too. Texans, obviously, more of a dome team with speed and stuff. It's supposed to be cold as shit in Arrowhead on today. So, I mean, if perfect world for me, though, watching the Super Bowl is I'd like a Lions Bills. I wouldn't be opposed to the Rams making it because then it makes the Seahawks look really cool. I hope the Eagles and the Chiefs don't make it just because I like when my teams aren't playing, I like to watch new teams win because it's just a little bit more fun. You get all that media coverage for that entire like 2 weeks. It gets kind of boring when it like think about when Tom Brady was winning every year. How boring was that listening to the same crap every single year about the same player? It's kind of nice.
Never boring.
You get these new players. And you get to see new backstories and stuff like that. I think it'd be pretty fun.
Amen.
But no, so it obviously those matchups are today, tomorrow, national championship on Monday. Should be an exciting weekend of football. But even more importantly than that, we have some great NBL games coming up with the new block. Obviously, we got the Coach Roke in Kentucky taking on Coach DK in Georgia today. I think Georgia's ranked number 4 in the NBL. But we have some other really good matchups that we do want to talk about today on the NDL game day, and we're going to go ahead and pick these. I'll lead it off with the Duke at Toledo. I really think Toledo has something brewing up there. I've already talked about the MAC conference. I think that they're kind of on the rise this season. They got several good coaches there towards the top. You got Buffalo, Western Michigan, Ohio, and everyone knows, obviously, Central Michigan was going to be good and right there at the top. I think that he tailored his out-of-conference schedule a little bit different this year, so he didn't have to take all those lumps and stuff right away. I think Coach Nubb there is going to be fighting for a championship in that conference, and so I'm thinking Toledo's going to win. What about you, Penguin?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, we could.
Nope. Awesome timing. I'll hop in. I'm with you, Tim. It's going to be a Nub for me in a close one. He is.
Are you back yet, Penguin? Yes, not. We'll just keep them moving along. DK, and who do you got in this matchup, Duke Toledo? You're cutting out on us, DK. Did you say tortillas? Penguin's trying to get back in here. Okay, so I think we got everybody there, and I put Phony's pick in there. Next up, we got Penguin. You're leading it up with UCF and TCU.
Play one game the other day. Thinks he's a good user on defense, but really isn't. And I think Smitty beats him by 3 touchdowns.
I think they're combined to 3-0 right now. I think Smitty's really moving that beer up there in Florida. I think it's he's kind of slowly figuring it out, maximizing those offensive possessions. I think he wins a close game here, though. Being on the road and everything. We can, what do you think, DK, here on the Smitty and TCU?
Well, I personally had the pleasure of playing Smitty in a blitz game. And believe it or not, he was leading that half. It took me the entire first half to figure out what that triple option was, how to contain it. You know, honestly, if your team doesn't have this and strength up front in that front seven, oh, it's going to be hell to pay. He has too many options and too many weapons in that offense that he's running. 300.
You're up, Pat. LSU, South Carolina.
We're going to go with Bucknut in this one. Think he starts his SEC playoff 1-0. It'll be a good game. I hope it doesn't take this personally, and maybe it's just a hot take. I think South Carolina takes a step back this season. I think they maybe go 8-4, and I think this is a tough one to start the season off with early. So I go with LSU by 10 points.
Yeah, I think these two have played enough over the last couple seasons to kind of know what to expect from each other. I can't imagine that Coach Bucknott's not going to have that crew ready at LSU. I know this is on the road. I think Coach Metro, though, started struggling towards the end of the year last year, whereas LSU was kind of peaking in the Beefy Cup anyways. I think that that's going to carry over this year. You're going to have Metro kind of struggle, and I think Coach Bucknott's going to continue to have success there. I got LSU winning.
I'm going to kind of agree with you guys there. Even though you've got home field and an SEC game, which is always a big deal, I think LSU is deeper, stronger, and South Carolina, I think, benefited from catching people a little on the back foot last season. They were able to use their speed and come in as the underdog. I think that's gone now. Everyone sees them coming, is going to be ready for them. So they'll put up a good fight, but ultimately the Tigers are going to be a bit too much for them.
Kane? What about you, DK?
I know for me, I'm going to have to go. I mean, honestly, he's one of those coaches that, yeah, you might get him one time, but the second and third time you guys meet, he's touchy.
Yeah, next we'll move on to the Buffalo-Sam Houston game. That game's played at Sam Houston. I think that Joker's had a ton of practice here with Sam Houston. He's been playing lots of blitz games, lots of scrimmages and stuff, and that's always going to help. I don't know much about the new Buffalo coach. I've heard good things about him. Obviously, I think he's 1-0 up there. I think this is going to be a good game, but I got Sam Houston.
Once again, we're coming in with two teams. You know, Sam Houston, like you said, has got the home field. Of note, I don't believe either of these teams have allowed a point in their first matchup this year. So they both looked really impressive, both, and it's no small feat when you've got teams with defenses that aren't exactly loaded with studs at every level. When I look at this, I see Sam Houston has already knocked off Oregon State, which is, in my opinion, definitely the better win of the two. That plus the home field. Sam Houston corrals the Buffaloes with some ease.
I'm with Sam Houston here, I think, in a tight one. Two coaches that are on the up and up. Sam Houston blanked Oregon State 31-0, like Penguin said, in the first game. The quarterback play was pretty efficient with Hunter Watson throwing three touchdown passes in their first game. The one player to watch in this is Caleb Weaver on defense for Sam Houston State. His stat line the first week in their win over Oregon State, 11 tackles, a tackle for a loss, a sack, two picks, three passes broken up. I want to see this guy play.
Well, going back to, you know, my guys again, honestly, I'm going to go with Buffalo just because this is one of those games where I was saying it's not necessarily the team players on the field that matters, behind the sticks as well. I just had this feeling after watching that Buffalo game, this guy knows how to put together, regardless of what he has, he knows how to utilize. Sam Houston's going to have to be mistake-free. If he makes one or two mistakes, I see Buffalo taking those mistakes and exploiting them in a way, at least winning by 10.
Bold pick. Next up, we've got Pitt in West Virginia, Backwoods Brawl, which is a slept-on rivalry. One that, I mean, I've seen a lot of great games over the years. But coming into this one, we haven't seen West Virginia take the field that season. And frankly, I think it comes down to a bit of the matchups and who you've got to lead your team at quarterback. And I think Pitt's got the edge there, plus the home field. It's a rivalry game where anything can happen, but I think the Panthers take this one.
I'm going to go with the home team here. Series history has always favored the home team in this rivalry. Penguin touched on it earlier, a very slept-on rivalry game.
every year. It's really awesome to see. I think everyone remembers when Rich Rod had the Mountaineers on the brink of making the national title game a few years back. By a few, I mean quite a few. And Pitt went in there as like a 4-8 team and knocked them off like something like 13-10 and ended up ruining their chance at a title game. So the hatred is there. Doesn't matter what the records are. Throw them out. But I will take the Mountaineers at home.
Not so fast, Pat. I'm kind of with Penguin here. He kind of hit on the things with the quarterback play. I think being at home here is not going to make much of a difference for West Virginia. I think Pitt's going to come in. They're going to run the ball, get good quarterback play, not turn the ball over, and I think they're going to win. What about you, DK?
Pitt is the home team in this matchup.
Are they?
Oh, I had it.
There you go.
It's written wrong in the Game Day channel.
Yeah, 100%. I had Pitt playing at West Virginia. So
well, now I just reason, forget everything I said.
Even more of a reason why Pitt's going to win.
Unbelievable. Let's make sure, you know.
Got to do your fact check.
Oh, I just trust him. That's all.
Well,
look at
I
that.
I like how Penguin didn't correct that during the production meeting. He just let it lie, let it slide, you know?
Really appreciate it.
Yes, yes.
Like the Biden administration.
Yeah. DK, who do you think's winning this matchup, Pitt or West Virginia? The game is played in Pittsburgh, just so you know.
Yeah, I'm going with Pitt. I mean, unfortunately for West Virginia, the Heels have eyes, and I say that they don't have the depth at the QB position that they would need to get over that Pitt defense. Pitt's running game is pretty solid. So, yeah, I see them running away with this one.
Respect for the cannibalism reference.
Pat, we're waiting for you. That awkward silence is waiting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I always forget we introduced him too. My bad. I'm still on cloud nine after getting, you know, the inaccuracies of where the game's being played. Yeah, no, I've had dreams about this where I show up to my high school team's game and it's actually an away game and I didn't know. So
you're in the wrong place in your pajamas.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, I would have rolled. Yeah. I would have rolled up to West Virginia and been like, man, this fan base is weak. They don't even tailgate. So Miami at San Diego State. I'm going to go with Miami here, maybe big. And Big Z is in an online dynasty of mine. And he, in the words of him, is in one of those struggle bus ruts right now. So I'm going to have to pile on knowing that inside information and just blasting it to the NDL world right now. That Miami's going to win by 2 scores.
And I, you know, see, I'm the opposite here. I think Big Z's time's going to be this season. This is kind of a must-win game for him. I know Dealer's kind of in the same boat, starting 0-2 over there at Miami. I think he's 0-2, maybe 1-1. But I think this is kind of a playoff game for SDSU. If they want to make that, kind of have that resume for the college football playoff. I know last year there were some questions whether he should have been in or what if he was one of those first team out. I think that this is kind of a statement win for him. I think with it being a home game is a huge difference for SDSU to not have to go on the road with that mid-major team playing at Miami. I think that that's going to be a big advantage to them. Not so much the home field advantage, but the disadvantage that Miami's not going to have from playing at home. I think that that's going to be one of the biggest keys to the game right here. And I think it's going to be a really close game. And I think they eventually pull out the win, SDSU.
It's a sexy pick. It is. And I'm not one to have any love for Miami. But I think desperation and being a must win is definitely what this game is for Coach Dealer. Because following up after this, you've got South Carolina and Virginia Tech coming up the next few weeks. So if you don't win this game, you could realistically start 0-4. And at that point, I don't care if coaching goals are technically within reach. He's going to be packing his bags and there will be a new head man down there next season. So having said all that, I think they circle the wagons, or I guess jet skis as it would be down there. And they go on the road and get a statement win here versus the Aztecs.
Yeah, Now, I personally, you know, I have a lot of faith in Dealer, and I really, I know that he knows this team and knows what he needs to do. He did start off 0-1 with the season, so this is a game that he needs to win so that he can, you know, propel himself with that momentum going into the two bigger games. And SDSU, I mean, San Diego State's doing well, but I mean, honestly, I'm going to put my faith in Dealer and see him pulling out with the win on this one. Because otherwise, if you take this loss, bro, you know, Beck is in the transfer portal to go to Miami. That could be a sign that I'm supposed to be going there. Just saying.
Prophecy.
Miami is 1-0. I want to correct my, or 0-1. I want to correct myself. Lost to Florida week one. Oh. And so we'll jump into the next game here. Big game. We've had both these coaches on the game day show. Obviously, it's no surprise to anybody. Vegas leaves. Baylor signs on with Tennessee, his favorite team. And, you know, one of his biggest fans, Jiggy, follows him over to the SEC to join the best conference in the NDL. And so now you have that rivalry, that coach's rivalry is going to continue on to this season. We have Tennessee at Oklahoma. Both are, so I think they've started 3-0. Jiggy owns Vegas. I'll go out and say it right now. Vegas is able to keep it close, though. Most of their games are starting to get closer and closer. I think the home field avoidance again, though, is going to be the big difference maker, not having to go into Tennessee and play. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Coach Jiggy comes out ahead.
Yep, that's a good pick right there. I mean, the home field avoidance is a great way to put it, because, you know, if you're playing this game in Tennessee, it's a fearsome home field advantage, and you've also got a talented but very young quarterback who is definitely affected by those road environments. And the Sooners are going to bring a solid home crowd, and you know how well Jiggy does, not just, I mean, if I had to define his offense, that he gets his playmakers in space with the ball. And the Sooners have that, and I think that is going to stress the absolute life out of the Tennessee linebackers, which, frankly, I don't think they're going to be able to hold up no matter what Vegas does. I think the Sooners win, and honestly, it might get ugly.
Ooh, it might get ugly. I'm going to just sit here and tell you right now, I think Tennessee wins by 10 on the road. OU has a serious problem in this game at quarterback. It's not good. It's not pretty. Yeah, the defense is good, and maybe it'll keep them in the game for a little bit, but I think Vegas is one of the top offensive units and players in this game. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think OU might figure out the quarterback thing as the season goes on, but as early as this season is, that is a huge issue with that team. It is a huge downgrade at quarterback from what was at Kansas to what's at OU. And so I'm going Vegas by 10, and you know, that's just going to fire off SEC play and the excitement of it for the season.
All right. Me personally, I love watching you two guys play. It's always a fantastic game to watch. But like Marion had once said to me, I believe Jiggy is Vegas boogeyman. And it's his Baba Yaga. Because, I mean, it comes down to, like, performance and the stats show that you guys are saying that, you know, OU struggles on the offense. Tennessee is a great offense. Jiggy has been winning his game because of his defense keeps the other offenses off the field and gives his offense times to get things going and figure out how they want to play. With OU having a better defense out of these two, I see this being a solid game for him. Jiggy's going to create the mistakes, going to maximize his opportunities. And outside of Pierce, I mean, I don't really see where Tennessee actually threatens anybody on the defensive side of the ball. I see OU taking this one home.
And that's some bulletin board material for both of those coaches, not like they need any. obviously, two of the best coaches in the league currently, number two. Oklahoma at, well, it's number three, Tennessee at number two, Oklahoma. I want to make sure I get the home team right for Pat. Now I'm going to have to double check those every week.
You know what's funny, Tim? I actually went back and looked. It's all of them say at, and then Pitt just says verse West Virginia.
Oh, so maybe it wasn't a complete typo.
Or maybe went in there and edited it after it happened. Who knows?
Yeah, because I'm looking. I see Pitt at West Virginia.
No, in our game day chat, buddy. You're not in there.
Oh, I'm talking. I was looking at the sources. I'm sorry.
We do what our boss, Tim, tells us to do, and he wrote it up interesting.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for it. I'm also going to say that Penguin, he clearly knew that it was wrong. He just didn't want anyone to get that inside information. That's really outside information. But definitely anyone can have that.
These are salacious accusations. Moving right along, though, the game that we're all here for, and I think everyone's going to be ready to turn into after this, game of the week, Bulldogs and Duquesne going down to Kentucky, the land of racehorses and bourbon and overrated basketball. It's going to be a heck of a battle, I think, for sure. It's playing, being that this is at Kentucky, I think that definitely levels the playing field a lot. Well, you don't have that Georgia crowd to rattle the Kentucky quarterback situation. Having said that, I think Georgia should win. I think they should control the clock. I think they'll run the ball well. I think Etienne has a huge day. But Kentucky and Barry and Brown will find a way in the end and win this game late in the fourth quarter, as Brown's going to get free one too many times, and the Wildcats will win.
So I'm going to do something a little different here. I submitted my picks last night, and I'm going to be honest with you, DK, and I know you're not here, but I wouldn't be able to look you in the eyes if I would tell you that I did have Kentucky initially picked. However, and now I see him in the audience, Roke was supposed to be on the show today, and he no-showed. So I am going to take the Bulldogs and put a little reversal on my pick, and I hope he 35 points his ass.
You know, the best part about the whole thing, Pat, is that Roke is going to come on the show and he's going to talk. We're getting some questions before we end. And so he'll be able to answer some of those questions. But I love it. Yeah, I think that this is going to be a good game. I think Kentucky's home field advantage is going to play a large factor here. We know that Georgia travels well, but I just don't think that well. Barry and Brown, we talked about it early on the show. Prior to the show starting, that was one of the big keys that I know Coach Duquesne talked to us about, was finding a way to kind of corral him and try to slow him down, Barry and Brown. But I think he's going to be the biggest difference maker. I think he's going to make a big play, whether it's on third down or a big touchdown. Coach Roke has had the most talented team here. This is his most talented team since joining the league. I think it's going to be a little too much for Duquesne, even with that great defense that he has there in Georgia. I think UK wins late with the force and a turnover. Obviously, Duquesne, who do you got?
Oh, okay. He can't pick.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell it to you like this. Kentucky gets a new coach every season. I face that same team, regardless of who the coach is, for every season. This is the third time I'll be facing this team. I already know where the weapons are. Everybody keeps talking about Barry and Brown. Let me introduce you to a guy named Julian Humphrey. Okay? That's my defensive back that will be covering Barry and Brown, who has the same speed and who's pretty high rated for a cornerback in the SEC. So, yeah. I already have a game plan in place. I know where his weapons are. I know where my weapons are on defense and what I need to do to be effective to contain that. So we're not really too concerned there. And as far as playing on the road, I mean, road games, you probably get a little bit of static for about a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. And then after that, it's getting everything. I mean, we're going to go out there. We're going to see what he's trying to do on the field. And we're going to make the adjustments we need to make so that at the end of the day, we walk away with the win.
I don't think there's a bulletin board big enough that can hold all what was just said right there.
Yeah, I just see tabloid pictures everywhere right now. Coach,
he's not going to be a problem for us.
That's confidence. So I guess when you've had a team that long, you can be pretty confident Amen. About what you're going to be able to put out on that field. Well, there we have it. I'm reaching out to Coach Roke, see if he has time. He just got off work. So I'm reaching out to see if he has time. I know their plan, Coach Roke's plan, is for him and DK to play after the show today, live.
Awesome.
Kickoff block two here in the NDL. And so do you guys have any parting words or anything?
I just want to thank DK for being here, taking the time. Been a pleasure to watch you use a top team in the game and have people consistently want to schedule you or come to the SEC to try to beat you because you are a confident dude and you are who you are. And so I want to thank you for being here. Just thank Tim, as always, for putting this show together and giving us a space to talk about this awesome league.
Yeah, yeah, what he said. And Pat, for getting up early to be here and do this when, God knows, I'm sure he'd love to sleep in.
Alarm goes off at 6:30 on Saturday, and I freak out because I think that it's Friday at work, and then I'm like, oh, it's just game day.
And we have DK telling us that that this was too early for him, and he's on the East Coast.
Oh, that was a heavy eye roll when I heard that.
We've got to get this to the point where we're using cameras. That way, you know, we can all have the added pressure of having to look presentable this early morning on the weekend as well.
In a month and a half, I'll be on the same time zone as DK, so it's only a few more blocks.
Yeah, then you won't have to get up at 6 in the morning anymore. What are you going to do?
Oh, God. I hope I don't start drinking before 9.
Why would someone do that?
You've got to have that like a big Caesar. I mean, you maybe you're a mimosa guy, I don't know, but I figured you'd be more of a Caesar guy than a mimosa guy.
I'm seriously most concerned about that East Coast move is the starting time for sports. Like, it's definitely been on my mind.
Yeah, where you're gonna have to stay up till like 2 in the morning to watch
well, how about college games out here start at 9 a.m like big time college games?
Yeah, that's I would not like that.
All those championship games, though, they don't start till like 8 o'clock at night either, though.
I know it. Yeah, and I'm an SC fan, and half their games are played at 10 p.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's true. Long late nights. You got to hope they do well, so you aren't beating yourself up all night, and then have to get up in the morning for work. So we do have Coach Roke on the show. He's joined the chat now. So, Coach Roke, you can come off mic and say hi.
Hello, boys.
Look who decided to show up.
Is Roke the accurate phonetic pronunciation there?
Rock, Rokey. That all works.
What is it? Like, clearly when you made the name, you didn't make it to be mean. Well, it's 10 different things.
Rock and Rocky.
Okay. What's that come from?
Some of my hometown boys giving me that nickname because my last name is kind of similar. It just flips up some letters.
Okay, so that's a nickname. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Roke. So I want to jump into it. Newish coach, obviously. How did you first hear about the NDL? And what has been the coolest part about it, in your opinion, as someone who, you know, hasn't been around that long?
I came across it on Google one day. I just searched up online dynasties, came across your website, and decided to apply. I think it was like a year before the game actually dropped. But yeah, what was the other question? I'm sorry, I'm not driving.
Yeah, no, we can tell. What has been the biggest surprise for you since you've been in here? Or not surprise, just what's been the most enjoyable part of this league? Because, you know, it's a little old school, right? If you think about it, you had to do recaps, obviously, but like we hand vote, you know, and all the little nuances that come with it. 100 and however many owners compared to what you can top out in an online dynasty, which is 32. So what's been the coolest part of maybe a little more old-fashioned type league like this?
You said it yourself, 130 users, that was very intriguing itself. How legit it is. I always wanted to be a part of something like this. It's pretty cool to be a part of, so.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have just another good user like you, man. Seriously, it's always good to get more competition up in here.
Appreciate it.
I do have a couple questions for you. In your short tenure here with in the NDL, what's probably your biggest win that you like, the one you remember the most right now?
I'd say season 29 with UMass, either the Bama win or the Texas win in Texas and at Bama.
The Texas win was against Coach Big Z from SDSU. Is that correct? I think, if I remember right.
I'm not sure who was there, actually.
And then would you consider last season with Michigan State, would you consider that like a failure? I'm assuming your expectations were probably pretty high when the season started. Obviously, you went out and scheduled one of the toughest non-conference schedules.
Yeah, they were a lot higher. I was expecting big playoffs. Even though it was a mediocre team, I was still expecting big playoffs. But I'm now at Kentucky, and now expectations are even higher for me. So,
Coach Rock, even though that last season was below your expectations, as someone who's been at Michigan State, would you have any advice for someone who's currently possibly ass with them right now?
Run the ball. That's your best chance, in my opinion.
It would be harder to throw interceptions if I do that. So I'll write that down.
Childs, he's not bad, but he's not as accurate as he should be.
Yeah, there are good backs for sure on that.
What are some of your kind of the key factors and stuff you're kind of looking at with this Georgia team?
I do want to get the run game going, but I know it's going to be tough with that defense he's got. I know he has a little game plan for Barry and Brown, but I don't look for him like most other coaches would. I'm going to play it slow, play a short game, and see how it goes from there.
Well, and you heard what he said. Barry and Brown shouldn't be a problem anyway.
Right.
Again, newer NDLer, who is your favorite team? Is there someone that maybe you have your eyes on in the future? Or are you more of a switch it around kind of guy as far as what your maybe future plans are in here on getting a team?
Well, my favorite team is Boston College. I know it's rare to hear, but I probably will play with them in the future, but I don't really have any want to play with them. I like to switch it up every year, probably. I'm never really going to stay with the same team.
Gotcha. And what did you like about Kentucky? You know, I see a lot of people have drafted them early. Keg the first year because he is a fan. And then you had El Jefe pick him somewhat early. I personally have used them in scrims, but it was early on, and I thought they were dog shit. So I don't understand it, but maybe you can explain it better to the audience.
They were just the best SEC team available, and I just wanted to be in the SEC.
Can't fault the guys.
So nothing about the players offense or anything like that?
No, nothing about the players. That doesn't matter to me.
Once that competition, okay. Not shying away from it.
Yeah, I was looking for a Big Mike on the schedule, honestly.
Oh. Yeah.
Everybody very wants nice. A cat.
I got to go into Florida this year, so we'll see how that goes.
Man, that's exciting. That's great to hear, man, because obviously us fans that aren't very good, which pretty much is everybody on the game day crew except for clearly Mark out there upsetting people with Syracuse, is that we love watching good football games. And so anybody that's willing to go out and put up some competition for us to be able to spectate, we really enjoy. I don't have any further questions or anything for you, Roke. Anybody else?
Are you guys playing?
I'm on the way home right now. I'll be home in the next, actually, I don't know. Hold on.
I'm going to pull up a GPS if you're pulling into the stadium.
Well, he's playing Georgia, so he's probably getting pulled over.
I love 2024. Or 25. I need to go to bed.
Yeah,
let's say around 12-ish, we'll be kicking off if that's what we need to do.
So around 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
No one knows what that means.
Deacon, are you going to have enough time to get that warm-up game in?
I told you I've been playing this game since 8 o'clock this morning. What are you talking about?
Well, you also told us we woke you up. You had to like roll out of bed.
You're assuming he's not playing warm up games.
I
said that I got up earlier than I'm used to. So, and I said I got up at 8. I'm only used to getting up at 12. You guys didn't get up. It was the fact that you were like, "Oh, your game's gonna be here." I'm like, "Okay, you know what? Let me get up, get my coffee, get you know." I had to do my little, you know, morning routine. Get that out of the way.
Yeah. You gonna be on camera? You gonna be on camera again? It makes my week.
It's connected to my.
As I heard was,
I don't know if I'm gonna headset, but I'm definitely gonna be on camera.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see the audio. One of my favorite moments since the NDL has been back was you giving the middle finger to your TV. One of the greatest things of all time.
Well, we really appreciated DKane and Roke planning on hitting it off today at 12 o'clock Eastern time. Live kickoff block 2 for the NDL. We appreciate you guys listening. As always, you guys make the NDL move. You make the show go. And until next week, talk to you guys later.
See you, boys.
See ya.